Welcome to the Just Go Places podcast, your source for tips, advice, and insider information on great destinations to visit around the world with your family. And now, your host, Shoba George.
Welcome to episode 4 of the Just Go Places podcast. Today we speak to Andrew Tolentino from the family travel blog, Dish Our Town, about Lower Manhattan. Andrew grew up in the Lower East Side of Manhattan and until just recently lived in Nolita, the acronym which stands for North of Little Italy. He's seen a lot of changes in Lower Manhattan, all for the better as far as families and visitors with children are concerned. I think Andrew is right. Lower Manhattan is a microcosm of the immigrant dream which shaped both New York City and the nation as a whole. The Germans, the Jews, the Italians, the Chinese, etc., all showed up in this little patch with a dream of a better life but holding fast to traditions of their past, especially their foods. Andrew gives us the inside scoop on his favorite places to visit and to eat in this area that he loves so much. There's a lot of big-name sightseeing attractions in Manhattan, but I agree with Andrew that embracing a bit of slow travel, browsing the stores and munching at eateries as you make your way through this neighborhood, really gives you a sense of what makes New York City such a vibrant, exciting place to live and to visit. Today I'm speaking to Andrew Tolentino, one part of the blogging family that makes up Dish Our Town. They think of themselves as traveling the world one dish at a time. Considering I absolutely love my food, this is a travel project I can completely get behind. You can find them at www.dishourtown.com, where they talk about food, style, and family travel. All the good things in life. Andrew, his wife Brenda, and their daughter Bailey are getting ready to leave their beloved Lower Manhattan to travel the world for a year. Who knows, maybe more. I thought we'd catch up with them quickly to get their insights on what's the best things to do and places to eat if you're visiting Lower Manhattan with children, since they have lived there for so long. Andrew, this is such a big change. What prompted you to try this round-the-world trip?
Well, Shoba, thanks for having us, first and foremost. But as far as being prompted, the romantic part of it is the story is that my wife prompted me to do it. But the truth is, you know, there are many variables that go into it, and we don't want to have to bore anyone other than the fact that it takes a few derailments, I think, in life to sort of set yourself straight. And in our case, we were in the same industry for very long, about 20 years or so, the fashion industry, that is. And within a matter of 18 to 24 months, we sort of got derailed from that path. You know, Brenda got laid off, and I was at a job where for the first time in many years, I was unhappy. When I had decided to leave my job, my first instinct was obviously to find another one. And then over dinner, and it didn't take much prodding, I said yes to Brenda's request to start at this thing called Dish Our Town. And we've been doing it now for only since October of 2014. And then Brenda had started in January of 2014. So the website, just a little over a year. So that's basically the reason, Shoba. The truth is, you know, a lot of years went into doing one thing, and it just seemed right. You know, it's kind of like anything else. You don't see it coming. It's kind of like that kiss from the girl you always wanted or from the boy you always wanted. You never see it coming, and when it does, you embrace it.
Well, I love the way your decision was made over dinner. Everything important revolves around food, in my opinion.
Especially in our culture here.
Yes.
Where, you know, we both come from a very heavy food culture, being Filipino and Filipino Chinese descent, which Brenda is. So anytime you go to Southeast Asia, anywhere in Asia, you realize that it's not sight to sight that you see; it's plate to plate. You go from one restaurant to another.
Yes. You've lived in Nolita. Tell us about how your neighborhood's changed and how you see it now.
Well, the neighborhood has changed in many ways, and I think for the better. You know, people talk about gentrification, and we have a lot of artists in our neighborhood. They like to romanticize about the old days, but the truth is, it is more family-oriented now. Nolita is situated in which the Bowery is basically the east side of Nolita, and what we call Soho here in New York would be the west side of Nolita. The Bowery was a very shifty place. not too long ago. But now you can certainly walk through it, many restaurants, and then you could pretty confident you could walk your kids through it without having to worry about it all too much. But as far as the vibe is concerned, well, what's nice is it sort of upheld itself. You know, in the nascent stages of Nolita, and I say nascent only because when I was growing up in the Lower East Side, this area was either called the Bowery or Chinatown or Little Italy. What we know of Nolita now is really used to be old Little Italy. Little Italy's shrunk quite a bit. Now it's got its own sort of positioning in the city. And the vibe, as far as the vibe is concerned, you know, I don't like to use the word hipster, but they were the ones that sort of created the vibe here. And it's quite fashionable, and it's always sort of trying to keep up to date. So it's fun. It's fun to see the evolution. I think it's a great place for families to visit because it's still at the stage of sort of building. Well, what I mean by that is, you know, only 3 years ago did we add a museum to our area. It's a new arts museum on the Bowery. Well, it's a beautiful structure, and, you know, it's sort of the eastern counterpart, I guess, of the MoMA. But really, not so much modern art, but the art is more current and really based on not necessarily modern art per se as a movement, but more street art. And real contemporary in the sense that, you know, I don't think there's anything in there that's less than 10 years.
Wow.
In its creation. But it's a beautiful structure on the Bowery, which... You would never, 10 years ago, Shoba, you'd never think they'd put up a museum like that there. So that's one of the places, certainly, to take the children in this area. And, you know, the lovely roof deck. So again, it's become more family-oriented. And if there's one thing to say about that is, yes, there is a vibe. But the best part about it is it's for all of us now. You know, it used to be sort of an artsy vibe, a music vibe. And honestly, it was just an adult location. You just don't bring children down here. But now there's plenty for them to do, from eating to going to museums.
What will you and your family miss about the area? I mean, other than your friends and family, obviously.
Obviously, the food. We have a plethora of food, but but a lot of places can say that. For us, it's the diversity. You know, we walk out our doors, we could take a right and go into Chinatown and spend $2 and be full. Or we can go up north, you know, we can go up north and go to some of the finer restaurants and have sort of a Michelin star meal. And of course, you know, you still have your Italian joints. And if you go east a little bit, you'll have sort of your Ukrainian and Jewish eateries. So the diversity, more than anything, for those who have been following our blog, we have moved to Jersey back in January to sort of spend time with Brenda's family before we left. And also, you know, for other reasons other than the fact that we just needed to start getting going. Of course, there's finances involved too, staying in the city. But one thing that we did miss is really the convenience of great food. And just 9 miles away from where we are, we couldn't get that. And I think, you know, it's sort of oversight when you live here. You say, oh, it's always there. But when you're not here anymore, you realize that it's not everywhere. So there is something we're going to miss. It will be the diversity within sort of the food choices. And I understand, I know that it's crazy to just say that that's the thing we're going to miss most. But, and yes, there's the friends and the family and the sights. But the truth is, it's that. You know, I mean, the culture, at least down here in downtown New York, is based on, you know, that multi-ethnicity that built this area, you know, from, if anyone's seen Gangs of New York and the Five Points and so forth,
yes,
that's
yes.
Exactly where it's happened. You know, we've got our old Jewish neighborhoods and Italian neighborhoods. The Irish just sort of moved out, but, you know, wherever there are poor people, they built up a great sort of food forum, and it's developed itself in this area. And, again, back to your second question about the vibe. I think it's a sort of a cultural food vibe down here. People come down here to eat.
That's terrific. Well, when you think about it, these immigrant families, a lot of their culture was defined around food. There's an importance placed on getting together for a meal and on the food.
And if you think back, you know, 100 years ago and so forth, it was really their only way of happiness is that common ground and getting together. So now that it's developed into million-dollar apartment, it's sort of kept its, you know, food status at the very least. It is kind of ironic where it's now maybe the 15th most expensive area code in all of Manhattan. Wow. Tribeca is the 12th now, which is very close to us, which is also Lower Manhattan. In the nation, not just, you know, in
New
Northeast.
York. That's saying a lot.
And, you know, when I was growing up, Shoba, here in the Lower East Side, you only went to Tribeca for no reason other than maybe to see the World Trade Center. And you would just walk through it.
Yes.
And it's all factories then. But now it's probably the best place to raise a family.
So what are some things that you would suggest that tourists do in your neighborhood if you have kids?
Well, what's great is, you know, we have places, for example, this Italian sort of salumeria and cheese shop called DiPaolo's. It's a great hour to go in there. Sometimes it takes 2 hours because they like to tell stories. Take your kids in there and they'll do some tastings, and, you know, they'll tell you about the histories of where certain meats and cheeses come from. And if they're of the age, my daughter's 11, and I know your kids are a little older as well, they'll certainly appreciate some of that history. Fine imported goods, but most importantly, they integrate what they brought in from Italy and how it sort of played itself out in the Italian-American culture. So there's a lot of history that can be learned in this area. And again, you know, appropriately, I guess, and versus ironically, it's through food. And so a place like DiPaolo's would be a great start, especially if your children aren't diversified with food. It's a nice way for them to sort of get taste.
Everyone loves pasta.
You know, everyone loves pasta. Everyone loves a good cold cut.
Yes.
They might have the stinkiest cheese they've ever smelled, but outside of Europe, probably the best specialty shop in New York. Another thing I love taking kids to is there's a place called Columbus Park in the lower part of Manhattan, and it's in the heart of Chinatown. You know, you're going to go in there with your kids, and it's a huge Asian population. And if you close your eyes, you'd probably think you're playing a playground in, you know, in Shanghai, or you feel like you're away.
Yes.
And that's why I love telling families to go there, because, you know, you'll hardly hear any English spoken. Of course, all the kids speak English, but not the parents. And I think it's a great, great place for children to feel like they're away, especially English-speaking kids.
Is there a playground there?
It is, in fact, a playground.
Oh, it is a playground. Okay.
And it's the tip of sort of Chinatown and where City Hall meets. So historically speaking, that's at the heart of the Five Points.
Yes.
It's where, yeah.
Back to Gangs of New York.
Exactly. Back to Gangs of New York. But yes, and now there's a wonderful playground there. So they don't need to be scared of people like Bill the Butcher anymore.
Even the name sounds scary, Bill the Butcher.
It is a scary name. But one of my favorite movies, and of course Daniel Day-Lewis is fantastic. And that's another thing, you know, taking the kids to these neighborhoods, you know, that wasn't folklore. That's what really happened around this area. You know, you go in another site to take the children, whether, you know, doesn't really matter what your religious disposition is. The truth is, you know, the old St. Patrick's is here. The old St. Patrick's Cathedral, before the big one on 50th and 5th, was put up.
I did not know that.
Because these quarters were filled by Catholics. They built a cathedral there. And when you enter and you look up on the wall, they talk about how they had survived that time. It's ironic because I know the European sort of disposition on Catholicism, they've got all this money and so forth. But here in America, they were the poor, you know, when they first came here.
They were the immigrants.
They were the immigrants. And it's a different story told here, at least in Manhattan. And places like the old St. Patrick's Cathedral tells that story of sort of that immigrant upbringing. And if you go east, like I said, where the Tenement Museum, how the immigrant Jews sort of built themselves up down here. So within this little area, I think most of the history of New York was built up, quite honestly. The interesting stuff, at least. You know, obviously you have your Rockefellers and your Vanderbilts and your Carnegies that built up
They were
most
uptown.
Of
they were definitely uptown.
Uptown and the East Coast and everything else. And thankfully, because I don't think we'd be the city we are if it weren't for those people as well. But as far as on a cultural standpoint, I have to say that down here is where you feel it most. And back again to that vibe that we speak of, you know, the word vibe is a funny thing to define, because you don't define vibe per se, right? You feel it.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think that's one way of really experiencing New York, is maybe get yourself a hotel in Midtown or Uptown, and then walk your way down, and then you'll almost see the intrinsic difference once you cross 14th Street.
I remember growing up, and there in the Garment District, actually, you could see people with rails crossing the street. The Garment District was the Garment District. And yes. Tribeca was factories, and now it all seems to be somewhat expensive flats.
Yes, they are.
And boutiques and restaurants.
And, you know, those acronyms, you know, Nolita and Soho and, you know, Hell's Kitchen. And the more popular they get, the larger that square footage becomes, it seems, you know.
Yes.
They're, you know, Chelsea's not as popular anymore as Hell's Kitchen is because the gays have moved up to Hell's Kitchen. It's funny because Chelsea inherently starts shrinking and Hell's Kitchen starts getting bigger. But, you know, that's just because the people that need to sell and rent the apartments want to call it that.
Yes.
I'd like to think that where we live is still Chinatown, honestly.
Yes, you're one of the refusers to use Nolita. It's one of the newer acronyms. You know, a neighborhood has arrived when it has its own acronym.
Yeah, but you know it's arrived, and you know that rents go with it. But again, as I had mentioned from the beginning, it's something I've embraced, and I think it's great because, you know, growing up in the Lower East Side myself, it's nice to know that you can raise a family here, mm-hmm. you know, and it's nice to know that you can bring children to playgrounds and not have to worry and keep your eye on them every second. So that's really the inherent difference of what's happened in the last 20 years in our neighborhood.
Okay, Andrew, you're going to have to name some names here. Restaurants. You're so close to Little Italy. What's a great pizzeria?
Well, there's Lombardi's, which most people know. And that's touted as the oldest pizzeria in New York. In our neighborhood, there was the original Ray's.
Yes,
and I know
the original
there are a
lot of
Ray's pizzas. There are a lot of Ray's pizzas out there, Shoba. We had they say the one on Prince Street, which is not even called Ray's anymore, it's called Prince Street Pizza, was where the original Ray's was, or is where the original Ray's was. But as far as pizzas are concerned, they're everywhere. They're ubiquitous, obviously, in the neighborhood. But Lombardi's is still fantastic. There's a place called Lasso, which does a thin crust on Mulberry Street, with Mulberry Street being the main sort of intersection here down in Little Italy. It's a place called Ruby Rosa, which I believe a family from Staten Island brought the recipe into Manhattan, and they make this really great thin crust pizza. New York style, not Napolitano style. You know, everybody said...
What's the difference?
Well, you know, in Naples, I believe what they do is they pound the crust, very rudimentary, and then they have, you know, the tomato sauce and mozzarella and basil, and they put it in a high sort of heated oven, and it comes out sort of almost burnt and crispy, and it's a rustic sort of feel and taste. But New York-style pizza, if anyone's had pizza, when I say pizza, I mean the pizzas that you probably get in most locations in the world, you know, that triangular piece of pizza, etc.
Yes.
That's what they serve there, which is more run-of-the-mill pizza. But what makes our pizza in New York so good, and I people have probably heard this before, is the water. And people claim that to be true. I you know, there's stories of Frank Sinatra back in the 50s and the 60s where they would get their pizzas delivered via plane whenever they were in Palm Springs because they simply couldn't make good pizza in the West Coast. And they always said because it was the New York City water. And the difference between New York-style pizza and Neapolitan pizza is we don't necessarily use the best mozzarella. The sauces are usually a lot sweeter. You know, probably like jarred sauce, yes. Something like that. You can't be gluten intolerant, put it that way. like most things that we've had, it's an American influence food stemming from the past. You know, this is what we grew up on. We didn't have those beautiful high heated ovens and expensive mozzarella and so forth.
Yes. You know, I've heard the water is what makes the New York bagels excellent too.
Yes, anything I think like bread based. They say that about the bagels as well. I don't have bagels outside of New York, so I really wouldn't know, Shoba, but I would gather to say that that's true as well.
What's your favorite bagel store in your neighborhood?
Well, there's a place called Essa Bagels, and then, you know, they're quite good. But there's a Bayali place, and I don't know if people know what a Bayali is, but basically it's a bagel where they haven't cut the hole through. They sort of pinch the middle of the dough, and they have minced onion in the middle, and they put it in the same, you know, they put it in the oven, etc. There's a place called Kozer's Bayali's, way down on Grand Street on the east side. And again, there's a big Chinese and Jewish sort of influence in that area. And it's literally just a bakery. You go in there, you buy your Bayali's, and you go out. You don't stay there for a coffee or anything.
Right, right. My children love their cannolis.
Yes, the cannolis.
And there's always a debate on who has the best cannolis. Do you have an opinion?
My opinion would be, I mean, the best cannolis, I think, are from Ferrara's Bakery.
The famous Ferrara's?
And I believe they do have the best ones. I haven't tasted a cannoli that I didn't like.
Yes.
So I'm not too discerning, put it that way.
It's sort of like me and chocolate. It's all good.
It's all good, exactly. It's all good. So, but if there was a place to have it, you may as well have the famous Ferrara.
What about Chinatown? We've talked a lot about Italian food, and Chinatown's right there, too. What are some of your favorite places in Chinatown?
Well, you know, we like Shanghainese. The beauty of our Chinatown is we do have all the cuisines here. But one of our favorite Chinese cuisines is, you know, Shanghainese cuisine. One of our favorite places is a place called Shanghai Asian Manor, where we get their famous xiaolongbaos, which are the juicy steamed dumplings. So that's a great place to go. Another place where we love to go is called Big Wong. They're a place where they have the hung meat, so they have the duck and then the chicken hung at the window, and you know they cut it up to order, and the pork and so forth. And they're the best in all of Chinatown, I believe. There's something their recipe, and the way they hung those birds and that pork that makes it much more delightful than all the others. So those are two places, and as a child, I grew up eating at this place called Wonton Garden, and every kid loves this place. And basically, they do wontons and noodles, and you can have it in soup, or you can have it what they call a dry mix. It's one of those places that do one thing well, and
that's good enough.
And they've done it for years.
Yes, yes.
And that's also on Mulberry, across canal. And I know these things may not make sense unless you look at the map.
It's all fairly centrally located. All the places you mentioned.
If you ever come down to Lower Manhattan and you want to start in the Nolita area, you know what you would want to tell a cab driver, or if you get on the subway, just make yourself down near the Prince or Spring Street area, and go south from there, and you'll hit just about every place I've mentioned.
In London, dumplings are a huge Sunday morning thing. Do you have that in New York as well? Dim sum and dumplings?
You called us about 1 o'clock our time here, Eastern Standard Time in New York. And I know it's a little later where you are. But about an hour before you called us, Brendan and I were having dim sum. And for us, that would be late. Noon would be late for dim sum. Dim sum usually happens around, 8:30 to say 11. So yes, it is a huge morning thing. Any day of the week, we do like having it on the weekday. Yes. That's where you sort of see the old Chinese men reading their newspaper over a pot of tea and one dish for an hour, and it's kind of fun to watch, you know.
Right.
A great place to have dim sum for those who are coming to Chinatown is a place called Golden Unicorn. And come early, because it fills up early. They have all the dim sum, you can muster up, from tripe to chicken feet, and then of course you have your more traditional sort of dumplings for those who aren't so adventurous.
The Sunday in New York is reserved for Sunday brunch.
It's a huge tradition. It's a huge tradition, and we tend to uphold that tradition ourselves as a family. It's really a family day, and it's hours of sort of eating, and for we adults, a little bit of drinky as well.
It sounds really good. There's so much to do there now. I have to admit that I didn't really know Lower Manhattan that well until I went in April with the children, and I realized that it had really been gentrified.
It really has been. And again, as far as places to eat and do with children, there's a great deal.
Yeah, and it's a very cool place to just wander the side streets and see what turns up.
And then one thing that Nolita has upheld, other than the other sort of neighborhoods that I've mentioned, from the Chelsea to Hell's Kitchens and so forth, is they stay true to the little neighborhood feel. You'll find some name brands here, but more likely that, you know, it's filled with little boutiques and eateries. You know, you won't, for example, you won't see McDonald's for miles from here.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
I did not know that. I thought there was one everywhere in the U.S.
You would think. I mean, there's a Starbucks everywhere in the U.S. But in our neighborhood, I don't think you'll hit a McDonald's till you go up near the university area where NYU is.
Okay.
Which is a little north of where we are. And it's not too far, but by New York standards,
it's a whole other neighborhood.
Exactly. And, you know, as far as children are concerned, Shobhan, I want to sort of elaborate on that a little bit because, you know, we are a family travel blog. And we do hope that when we travel, there's just so much that intrigues our children as it does us. But also they need their time. And I think when people come to New York, they go from one side to another. And I say travel slowly. And this is one area where you can. And as far as development is concerned, listen, we just opened up the new One World Trade Center.
Yes.
Where the old World Trade Centers were. It actually brings me to tears when I mention it, because when we went to see it, I think it was the third day when it opened, I couldn't believe the job that they did.
It was amazing.
And every child should see that.
Yeah. I took my kids to see it in April, and it was amazing. I would definitely recommend it. I mean, some of it I thought was inappropriate for them, so we kind of whisked by it because there were things I didn't want to explain too much detail.
Right.
But a lot of it was wonderful for them.
You didn't get to go up the actual towers, though, yet, have you?
No. Is that available now?
That's what I'm talking about. It actually opened.
Oh, yes. Okay. I went to the museum.
The observatory, right. The observatory actually opened, and that makes for a great family day.
Okay.
You know, and you had mentioned things that may be inappropriate in the museum. You're right about that. And what's beautiful about what they do in the new One World Trade is it's sort of a forward-moving museum, meaning that there's really no mention of what happened in the past. It's all about forward movement and the future.
Yes.
And I think that's very important to sort of impart to children. And down there is, you know, just across the highway. And again, you won't know what I'm talking about unless you're down here. But you go west one block of where the One World Trade Center is, and you are at what you call Battery Park, which is another neighborhood down
in
Lower Manhattan.
It's got great playgrounds. That's what I remember.
That's it. You've got two or three great playgrounds, and if you want, and lots of greens.
And so walked the children straight down Battery Park because, you know, just you play along the playgrounds, and then you hit the ferry, the Staten Island Ferry, which is another great trip.
That's another great trip. A ferry you can do. One other thing you can do if you don't want to do the Staten Island Ferry is there's a ferry along the stretch, and you'll see it if you walk Battery Park, that takes you to New Jersey. And that's a fun little trip as well. And it actually drops you off at a dock of a fun little restaurant on the Jersey side. And it's a nice thing to do because you see Lower Manhattan on the from the Jersey side, and it's a really nice picture-taking sort of day.
That is, yeah. Especially in the evening and at nighttime. I've seen Manhattan from Jersey, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah, we like to hide our sins at night, so the city does look great at night.
Sparkles.
Exactly. May as well be Disneyland, but it is our Disneyland, and it's got a little edge to it, so we do love our city. As we leave it, we love it even more. But, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say there are two restaurants in this area, which is a must-go to. I mean, we are a family travel blog, and I know what we're talking about is family-oriented, but these are two places that need to be visited, and it's a place called Peasant, probably the best restaurant in the city, if you can get it, and it's called Jack's Wife Frida. It's called Peasant on Elizabeth Street. My daughter loves it, and so I can't imagine that and most of the children that we have brought over there to eat love it.
Okay.
So I think it makes for a nice family night. So a place called Peasant, and another place called Jack's Wife Frida, and I know I had mentioned this area being a pretty fashionable area. So if you want to look at attractive people while you're having your coffee, that's the place to go. But I don't say that in a negative way. Actually, the foundation of that place is great hospitality and great food. And I know when people talk about fashion and pretty people, they think that the other stuff is oversight. But no, actually, it's great food and it's probably the best place to be served. Everybody's so happy and sweet in there.
Well, thanks so much, Andrew, for taking time out right before you leave to speak to me. Can't wait to hear about your adventures on the road. No, I hear your first stop is Hong Kong. You're pretty much going straight to the opposite side of the world.
We are going straight to the opposite side of the world. And, you know, when we were buying our tickets, the best part about buying the tickets was everything was one way. So it's got to work out, Sho, because we don't have a return flight.
Well, the good thing is the globe is round, so you'll make your way back.
Sooner or later, for yes. Sure.
Yes.
I know I'm a bit long-winded, but the reason why I'd like to, you know, sort of hark upon certain things is because this is a neighborhood that certainly is overlooked, and I'd like to think that we can do something about that as far as families are concerned, because it's a lovely place to take a family down here in Lower Manhattan.
I discovered that recently myself.
I'm glad someone did.
I've got it. Yeah, no, I'm embarrassed to say that I was like an Upper West Side kid, and I didn't really think about Lower Manhattan until we went recently, and we're like, this is cool.
It took its time, but we're looking forward to leaving it. You know, in some ways it's sad. I can't help but use that word because it is. But we're excited to see other cities and other towns.
Well, I'll be following along avidly on your blog. And I know that people listening would love to follow you as well. Once again, your blog is at dishourtown.com. And I wish you all the best for your new adventure starting in a few days.
Thank you so much, Sherba. We wish you all the best, too, with your travels.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Just Go Places podcast. For show notes and links to everything on this episode and lots more information on fun family travel, do check out justgoplacesblog.com. Feel free to contact me on Facebook or Twitter with your comments and questions on family travel. I also really appreciate if you can leave reviews on iTunes for Just Go Places podcast. It really helps in making the podcast discoverable for other people and families who are interested in travel. So thanks very much, and until next time.